his house tonight. There's no better place to be than at church on a midweek service. Because midweek matters, right? I'd like to turn your attention to Acts, the 9th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says this. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And the Bible says, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the streets, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of men how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Saul, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about a topic, blinded by darkness. Blinded by darkness. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you. Almighty God, we thank you for another opportunity. to just come into your house to magnify you. Lord, let us not take this opportunity for granted, oh God. Lord, for this may be the last opportunity that we have to come into your house. God, give me the words to speak, oh God, and soften our hearts that the seed may fall and that it may sprout. God, help us to leave not the same way that we came in, but with something different about us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We read about Saul prior to Acts chapter 9, and we see that Saul is set out on a mission that he believed that God wanted him to be on. Saul viewed the newborn Christians as the enemy. And the high priest, the Jewish high priest, were telling him this very thing. And he was set out on this mission, thinking that he was doing something good by slaughtering those men. So we read all of the horror stories about what Saul did. And we see that Saul was at the stoning of Stephen and held the men's coats that threw the stones. We see that Saul does everything that he needs to do that he thinks that he's doing right. He's killing Christians. The Christians are the enemy, so he thinks. So Saul goes into the high priest and he requests permission to go to Damascus. And anybody that he comes across that preaches Jesus, he gets permission to bind them and to take them into custody. So as Saul is granted this permission, he's on his way to Damascus and he's riding on this road and the Bible says that there's a bright light. The light's so bright that it blinds him and knocks him off of his horse. Saul doesn't know what's going on. None of the people around know what's going on. And then he hears a voice from heaven. God reveals what he's going to do with Saul. He reveals that Saul is being misled and that he has a plan for Saul. But catch the fact that Saul was blind not for just the moment, but for 3 days. Darkness, when darkness sets in, it tends to consume an individual. Darkness comes with many feelings and many emotions. Darkness makes you fear what you cannot see. Darkness makes you feel alone. Darkness just sets a fear in your soul. In darkness, you can't see where you're going. In darkness, it makes you think that there's things around you that's not really there. But you don't know any better because it's dark. The darkness doesn't just affect us, but it affects everything around us. Who remembers back when the eclipse happened? Did you notice that when you stood outside and you looked up and the total eclipse happened, all the birds stopped singing? Silence. No commotion. Darkness has a way of dealing with people. Darkness is often viewed as a bad thing. If there's anybody that deer hunts in here, when you go into the woods in the first thing in the morning, if anybody says they're not a little bit scared, they're lying to you. Sometimes you just got to sit in the truck a little longer and build yourself up to get ready to walk into the woods. Mikey's lying back there. He's in the sound booth. He's lying. So you turn on your light and you're walking to your stand and you're thinking, man, if I can just get to the tree stand. You're walking And every step you take, you swear you hear something behind you. You're turning around, you're stopping, and I know something's around. If I can just get to the tree stand, I'm still in darkness, but if I can just get to something that's familiar to me. Darkness makes you feel alone, and if you can find something that feels familiar to you, if you can find a place that you're comfortable in, find a place that you want to be, somewhere that feels secure to you. Darkness makes you feel alone because you don't know where you're at. Darkness starts playing tricks on you. When the night sets in, predators start to come out. If you look statistically speaking, most violent crimes happen at night. Why is that? Because the darkness, there's cover in the darkness. There's a sense of being able to hide in the darkness. Darkness can take such a toll on an individual. We can read about Moses and the plagues. The ninth plague. What was the ninth plague? It was darkness. The Bible says that it was so dark that you could almost feel it. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Darkness so thick that you very rarely we get to experience total darkness. Even at night, we can walk outside, and even if the clouds are covering the stars, you can still see a little bit of something. But total and utter darkness will take a toll on an individual. And there's times that we go through darkness in our spiritual walks. Darkness makes you feel all alone, and there's people all around you. Sometimes we can make decisions that will thrust ourselves into darkness. Sometimes it's just something that we have to go through. Not every day you get up do you feel like running around the church, or not every day do you get up that you just feel the presence of the Lord. There's some days that you just have to push through it. When we're in darkness, we tend to just want to stay in one place because we're worried about what's ahead. But I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you can't just stop in your spiritual darkness. You can't just wait for it to leave. You have to keep moving. It's just like Brother Harper preached the first night of revival. You just have to keep moving. Just keep praying and just keep moving and keep your eyes lifted up. If you let the darkness intimidate you, it will. Darkness, when it sets in, it doesn't mean that God leaves. A lot of times we think that we're out of the will of God if we just stop feeling God for a season. That's not always true. Sometimes we have to grow spiritually. We have to read the Word to sustain us for that season. We have to pray to sustain us for that season. We have to learn how to walk on our own two feet. We can't be held by the hand all of the time. Sometimes we just have to get up and serve God. Just because darkness overwhelms us, it doesn't mean that God leaves. God is still there. God can and God does move in the darkness. We see that God uses darkness in Saul's life, and we see that he covers his eyes, and he leaves Saul in the dark for 3 days. Why? Why is that? Because God moves in the darkness. If you're in a dark season right now, I just want to tell you, you're not alone. personally speaking, I just got out of a dark season. The dark seasons help us to grow. If he can get you to where everything's quiet, just you and him, something can happen. Something can change. Turn with me to Micah. Chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verse 8 says this: "Rejoice not against me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets." God lets darkness win for a season. We can go back to Calvary and we can read about Calvary. And we can read about how Jesus was led to the cross and Jesus was crucified. And if you didn't think that that was a dark time, that most certainly was a dark time for the early church to witness their Lord being crucified and beaten down and hung on a tree. That was a dark time in Scripture. But the greatest thing that's ever happened to humanity happened right after the darkness. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. If you can just endure the night season, God's going to come back in the morning. If you could just wait it out just for a little while, God's going to come back in the morning. Oh, if you could just hang in there a little bit longer, the darkness is going to go away and the day is going to come back. But you got to hang in there. We can read a common theme throughout Scripture. We can read when Lazarus was dead and they asked Jesus to come and pray. Come and pray. If you come right now, I think you can turn the situation around. But the Bible doesn't say that Jesus left right then. It says that he tarried for 3 more days. And he shows up and they said it's already too late. He's already starting to stink. Those 3 days must have been awful long for that family. We get to read the Scripture from outsiders looking in. But if we put ourselves in their shoes, the family of Lazarus had a dark season for 3 days. They thought it was over. And Jesus shows up. And Lazarus is raised from the tomb. It was right after a dark season. We can look at 2020 when mom was in the hospital. That was a dark season. That was a really dark season. Everybody's telling us that you might as well just count it done. It's done. It's over. 18% chance to live. It's over. But we endured the night season. And we showed up every night at the hospital and we just prayed. God, have your way, have your will. Bring her out. And when everybody else had given up, God stepped through. It's after the night season is when God works. He works in the middle of the night. Even when you can't see him, he's working. When you don't feel him, he's still working. There's several miracles sitting in this place right now. There's people in here that was counted for dead. Should have been dead a long time ago. But in the night season, God showed up. In the night season, they endured the night season, and they're still standing here today. Understand that a night season, there's no time limit on when darkness can endure. There's people that's endured darkness for years, but they just keep showing up to church. They just keep showing up. They just keep praying at night. They just keep reading their Bible. They just keep walking towards where they think the right direction is. And the night season will eventually come to an end. I was listening to a podcast. They were interviewing Mark Brown. Some of you may know who that is. And Mark Brown was an IBC student that got called to pastor in South Dakota. And he went on to tell how they packed up the day of Bible college graduation, and him and his wife drove out there, and there was a church out there that the South Dakota district said that you can try. Many other pastors have tried it and it's failed, but we still have this building. You can go out there and you can try. So he goes out there and he talks about how they didn't have anything. All they had was a car, a few clothes, and that was about it. And they live in the basement of this church. And he said for 2 or 3 years, it was 5 to 7 people that he preached to. How do you pay the bill and 5 to 7 people coming to church? How do you pay the lights, keep the lights on, the water running? I don't know, but it happened. And Mark Brown says for 12 years, he said it was hit and miss and touch and go. And for 12 years, and he even got to such a low point, he was trying to work jobs and pastor and do this and that, and it just seemed that it wasn't working out. He got to a point that he said he didn't even want to get up and go upstairs to preach. He said he got tired of preaching at his wife. But he just kept moving on. He just kept moving on. And he said he was at a fundraiser. He said there was a few people there. And he said he had some people at his church. And he said God told, that it was for a church plant. God told him to give the rest of what he had to this church plant. He said, okay. He said that all the money that they had was what was left of their tax return, and he said he gave it to them. So they didn't even have any money to eat on later that day. He said, Lord, that you know this is my last bit of money. So he gives it to them, and he said when he got home, he checked his mailbox. He said there was an envelope for like 3 times the amount of what that he gave to that church plant. So it was a night season, but God provided. A night season that it almost looks pointless. Just when you're about ready to give up and walk out the door, that's probably when God's about to move. When I was in Bible college, our campus pastor at the time, Brother Galleon, he told a story that he said he was just starting out in ministry, and he said that He went to preach for a pastor. So he didn't have enough money to put gas in the car to go back and forth. He said he got there, he preached. He said the pastor wrote him a check. This is Sunday night. Writes him a check. He says he gets in the car, drives down the road a little bit. He said the gas light comes on. So he ain't got any money in his bank account. He said all he's got's a check. Sunday night. He says, so I'm sitting there at the pump trying to figure out what I'm going to do. He said, and what's going through my mind is I'm going to try and get my card to work, and then first thing in the morning I'll run to the bank and cash the check, and hopefully it doesn't bounce. He said, and this is a real scenario running through my head. He said, and just about as right as I went to put the card into the pump, he said, I heard Brother Galleon. He said, I turned around, and there's that pastor. He said, God told me that you needed gas. He said, the pastor filled his car up. It's in the night season. Everything seems like it's falling apart. It's when it's dark and you feel like you're all alone. That's when God's gonna move. We just lay it all out there on the line. You've got nothing else to lose. You feel like you've got bills that's due. You're about to foreclose on your house. Whatever the case is, that's when God's about to move. Just hang in there a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. There's another story. Bear with me on the stories. There's a man that invested his fortune in this mine that is supposed to have gold. And they said for months and months, they dug and dug and they never found gold. Man's fortune spent on this mine. Finally, the man gives up. He says, you know what? I'm going to cut my losses and I'm going to sell it. So he does. He sells it. The next person that comes in, they start digging. They went 3 feet and they hit the biggest gold mine, one of the biggest gold mines on the West Coast. If he would have just hung in there for 3 more feet, just a little bit longer, he would have hit the biggest gold mine on the West Coast. Church, if we can just hang in there just a little bit longer, if we can hang in there just a little bit longer, God's going to move. God's got something in store for you. If you can just hang in a little bit longer. I don't care what the situation is. It could be problems with your job. It could be problems at your house. It could be problems with your kids. It could be problems, whatever. Fill in the blank. It could be problems with people at church. It could be problems where, whatever. You fill in the blank. It could be whatever you think it is. Whatever puts you in the darkness. But just know that God does not stop moving in the darkness. But he's setting you up for the biggest miracle you've ever seen. Don't be afraid of the darkness. God's about to set you up for a breakthrough like never before. Don't be afraid of the darkness because it'll last for a little bit, but it's coming. It's coming. You just hang in there just a little bit longer. Your miracle is coming. Laney and Caleb, your miracle is coming. Hang in there a little bit longer because it's coming. The night season... Oh, weapons formed against me, hallelujah, they shall not prosper. The night season may endure for a night, might just endure for a little bit, but the breakthrough is coming. It's just around the bend. If you just hang in there, it's coming. He's going to make a way. Don't despise the night season because he's setting you up. Don't despise the hard times because he's setting you up. Stand with me. Micah 7 and 8 again. I'm going to read it again. Bible says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. Because when I fall, it doesn't say if I fall, it says when I fall, I shall arise. The Bible says, when I sit in darkness, it doesn't say if I sit in darkness, it says when I sit in darkness. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Oh, you just crave that alone time with him. When you're in a situation, you don't even know how it's going to work out. You crave that time with him. Because that's when he can speak to you. We take away all the other distractions. Sometimes we let our blessings just take over. Sometimes we're just so thrilled with how life's going that we lose sight of what God's trying to do in our lives. Sometimes God just has to reel us in a little bit. Put us in a place where we just sit in darkness for a little bit. Saul sat in darkness for 3 days wondering what in the world's going on. I thought I was doing something good, and here I am blind. I thought God was on my side, and here I sit in a jail cell blind. That's how God could speak to Saul. He could get through to Saul that way. Don't kick against the darkness. Don't be afraid of the darkness. You're not alone in the darkness. There's people under the sound of my voice right now. I'm sure there's people going through darkness right now. You may or may not know anything about it. They could have been struggling with darkness ever since we've opened this church. You don't know anything about it, but they're going through it and it's real. Just hear me. You're not alone when you're going through the darkness. Just hold on to him. Just keep moving forward. You're in the best place that you can be. Don't think that if I just quit coming to church, then maybe the problem will go away. That's a lie. Just keep showing up. Just keep praying. Just keep getting close to him. Eventually that night season's going to be over, and you're going to look back and you're going to say, that's what that was for. You have no idea where you're going. And if we control where we went, we'd make our lives a mess. We don't understand God's thinking. You shouldn't even try to comprehend how his thinking works. Because he's the Almighty God. He's got a bird's eye view. Just think about it. The next time you think it's not going to work out, you just remember that we serve the same God that hung the stars. We serve the same God that created a world just close enough to the sun and just far away enough from the sun. We serve a God that can speak to the ocean and has to obey. There's nobody like him. And we say that, I feel like we say that loosely sometimes. And don't take that lightly. He is the mighty God of Israel. He is the everlasting Father. He hung the stars, the moon and the stars. He created us all. We're all in his image. when you think that you're so upside down that you can't even make it another day, you just remember that God sees exactly where you're at. He sees every sparrow that falls, is what the Bible says. How insignificant is a sparrow compared to us, His children? And He sees every sparrow that falls. Don't get weary in the dark season. The night season's gonna go away. But just remember that God's trying to do something in that night season. Even if you're the one that put yourself there. What the enemy meant for evil, He can turn it for your good. It doesn't matter if God puts the dark in your life, or if we put the dark in our life, or if it's just a season that we have to go. It doesn't matter. God's still in control. Even how crazy our world is right now, God is still in control. He sees exactly what's going on. He knows exactly where we're at. And we're all being set up for the greatest miracle that the world has ever seen. We're living in such a dark time right now. The Bible said when the ninth plague fell on Egypt that the Egyptians couldn't see not even the hand in front of their face. But the children of Israel, the Bible says that they had light in their dwellings. They had light in their houses. Egypt couldn't see anything, but God's people. We're living in that time right now. Egypt can't see anything. Egypt's in such a darkness right now. The world's in such a darkness right now. But God's people knows what's about to happen. We're waiting on the soon coming of the Lord. If you just endure this night season, if you could just endure to the end, heaven's going to be worth it all. Heaven's going to be worth it all. These altars are open. They can begin singing.